You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave talking about the NFC North champion Green Bay Packers, a 23-10 clinching victory. Packers now assured of no worse than the number three seed in the upcoming NFC playoffs, an outside chance at the number one seed, a very good chance at the number two seed as the Packers move to 12-3. Merry Christmas, Dave, as we're doing this on Christmas Eve morning. It was a delight today to see us sliding down the chimney. I appreciate that, and please be sure to clean up the soot, okay?
Yeah, we'll do.
Well, great victory for the Packers, and it was very much on brand. That first half was absolutely difficult to watch. It wasn't just the turnovers. The two lost fumbles, the interception, it was the dropped passes, the missed passes by Rodgers, all the way around. I mean, that first half, it was amazing they were only down 10-9 at the half.
Oh, for sure. It was amazing they were down 10-6. I thought the drive at the end was pretty remarkable. But yeah, I felt like the Packers were dominating, but I thought this is who this team is. They make critical mistakes at critical times. Rodgers is having a bad first half, and the only saving grace was whose defense was that out there? I mean, Za'Darius Smith, I was thinking, forget Khalil Mack. I mean, Za'Darius Smith is Khalil Mack at his best. I mean, did we somehow miss out on that sweepstakes and yet the next year pick up someone just as good or better? I mean, every rush for him, he was dominant. Although I don't know how bad do you think Minnesota's
No, Dave, come on. He didn't even make the Pro Bowl. This guy can't be any good. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand this at all. You know, but I'm glad you mentioned him first off, because he was the difference in the game. In fact, I don't know what you think about this. He might be the difference in the season.
It might be. I mean, it was Reggie White like performance. The thing is, Reggie played that way almost every game. And Za'Darius has been very consistent. But, man, was he a one-man wrecking crew. And then you add Kenny Clark was mixing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like Kirk Cousins was getting pressure on with four rushers, which we don't know if he had that before, or at least in a long, long time. And no one was coming around the end like Kabir or Clay Matthews. This was up in your face, a collapsing pocket. And, you know, I'm sure Minnesota is down on Kirk Cousins, but as a fan for the other team, I think, you know, our defense was giving him no time. So I almost want to give Kirk Cousins some grace, but I'd never do that for Rodgers. Rodgers isn't getting rid of the ball fast enough. But Kirk Cousins, I totally understand.
Hey, Cousins, better bread, better subs.
That's right. And a zero for whatever on Monday Night Football. Isn't that hilarious? At what point does that sink in?
He's 0-9 on Monday nights. And what was so weird is that leading up to this game, we had heard about how they were, 8-2 in the last 10 games. He was number four in passer rating, like 111 coming in. Everyone's talking about, he's kind of starting to live up to that contract. It made me wonder, was the Packer defense, specifically Smith, that good? Or did Minnesota miss Dalvin Cook that much? I mean, they looked pathetic. I think you might even say, Dave, that they looked flaccid on offense.
Yes, that's true. Although one thing I think that was a real gift for the Packers too to keep them in the game was Zimmer's insistence on running the ball. Oh, yeah. I mean, they killed drives with running twice and then they're in third and five, And then the pressure just got to Cousins. Why they didn't just throw down the field? I feel like that was the Packers' weak spot. They gave up one long play, a couple of long plays, right? One was called back on penalty.
Yeah. A well-deserved penalty, too, because Fackrell was getting just tackled.
Yeah. And Cousins would have been sacked probably if he wasn't held. There's a couple that were defended well but could have been pass interference. I just don't understand why Minnesota just didn't attack downfield and challenge our corners. So that was kind of a gift for Minnesota by committing to the run. That's Zimmer's way, commit to the run, and, man, that played right into what we're playing defense. And maybe having Cook back would give that more balance, and then maybe the rush isn't as strong. Maybe if they play at Lambeau, they probably won't now, right? Because Minnesota has the sixth seed.
Right, exactly.
And at best would play – well, they'll probably play either at Seattle and then at San Francisco before they got to us. So I think this is the last we've seen Minnesota this year.
Probably. I mean, it's hard to conceive that a Stafford-less Lions team is going to beat – Green Bay. It's hard to imagine that. And so you have to think Packers are going to be 13-3. They're going to be at least the number two seed. First round bye. I don't think they're playing Minnesota again. And if they do, they're going to play them at Lambeau. Yeah. So I think that they maybe escaped for this season. But going back to your point about Mike Zimmer, did you see that quote handshake at the end of the
I did.
I think he might have had a little bit of the red ass there going on. I think you can have a game plan that commits to the run when you have Dalvin Cook as your running back. But you know, when you're trotting out Mike Boone, I think you maybe have to be flexible and maybe change that game plan a little bit. And as it was, they rushed the guy 11 times for 28 yards. And, you know, I Boone, from all accounts, you know, is an okay player. I think he was an undrafted free agent and runs hard and all that kind of stuff. But this is where I guess I diverge with a lot of the intelligentsia of NFL where, oh, you got to commit to the run. You got to run the ball. I think you have to do that when you've got guys like Aaron Jones or Dalvin Cook or, you know, back in the day, you know, Marshawn Lynch or Amon Green and these kind of guys. Yeah, committing to the run makes sense, but that's only in a very rare instance. And I think we saw in the game last night, on Monday night, that when you don't have a premier running back, committing to the run in the NFL, I just don't think that's going to work. On the other hand, committing to the pass when Za'Darius Smith is going off, I'm not sure that was a winning formula either.
Yeah, and it wasn't even the short passes weren't really working either. We're getting to a lot of third downs. Let me look at the drive chart here.
I think Thielen he must have been hurt because he was very quiet. He dropped one pass that was thrown to him. They tried to run with him once, but he didn't seem like a factor at all in the game.
No, was he the one who caught the touchdown that was called back by a penalty?
No.
Was that Diggs?
No, that wasn't Diggs. It was somebody else. I'm not sure who they targeted, but I mean, Thielen was pretty much invisible the whole game.
Yeah. Well, four targets, no catches for no yards. Yeah. So, look, I can understand that their offense stalled without Cook and if Thielen's hurt, but I mean, I didn't really feel like it was the lack of playmakers. It was a lack of time that Cousins had all. I mean, it really was something. And I don't recall hearing that Minnesota's offensive line was that terrible.
Yeah. I thought they were okay or supposed to be okay. Yeah.
Must've been good enough to get Cousins a good quarterback rating. It was, and you know, I do think the Packers play well on kind of all levels. I thought, even though I think the corners are challenged a bit. Well, Alexander, I think, played fine, but Kevin King can give up a big player too.
Easy on him, man. The guy had an INT. He made some nice tackles in support of the running game. You know, I mean, Kevin King, I think, is underappreciated because, you know, he's not the player that Alexander is. And I think both of those guys are good players, will be for a long time. And I'm a Kevin King guy. My biggest problem with him is the durability, and he's been a lot more durable this season.
He's made it. But he falls down for no reason. on those sideline routes. He fell down again,
yeah.
And Thielen then fell down too. Did that against who was it that the against the Bears? Maybe he fell.
It wasn't the Sis grass this week.
No, that's true. But yeah, there's a lot to be very thankful about with this game. Now, did the formula work? Did everyone stay healthy? I guess the question is Jamal Williams. What's his status? Do you know what happened?
Well, his status is he's chill. I mean, that is his, again, pregame video of him dancing in the end zone, playing catch with people in the stands. I mean, I hope the guy's not injured because after Za'Darius Smith, Jamal Williams is my guy. I love this guy.
Yeah, he is. I wonder who, if he was playing catch with Viking fans or Packer fans. I think that's very cool that he does that.
Yeah.
But we got out, at least Bulaga's not hurt and Kevin King's not hurt. That's our barometer of health for this team.
I think they escaped again. I mean, that was one of our betting lines. Their luck's going to have to run out. Wouldn't it really suck, though, if it next week, that's when they had this spate of like four guys, you know, key players, you know, Aaron Jones, Za'Darius Smith, Aaron Rodgers, you know, and 17, right? They all go down next week, and this magical season, the wheels finally come off, you know?
Yeah. That's probably what I knew we were cruising for a bruising at some point, but we were relatively healthy coming out of that game.
Yeah.
Did we get lucky? Do you think there was any luck involved? There was the Philly special that they didn't capitalize on, which was pretty lucky. What did you think was lucky?
Oh, well, I mean, not having Dalvin Cook. I mean, I really think, but this is like when they played Kansas City, you know, that in Kansas City, you know, without their MVP quarterback and now they face, you know, their arch rival who has become their arch rival and the most important game of the season. And they don't have, apparently, you know, their key player, the guy that stirs their drink. You know, the Packers have been lucky on so many levels this season, everything from timely officiating calls, the health that they've had, they face teams by and large at the right time. I mean, I know you make your own luck in lots of cases, and I think there's some truth in that, but this has gone beyond that. So I mean, hell, if you're going to ride luck all the way to the Super Bowl, take it, you know,
why not? you may not no longer be lucky. You might be good, but there were some lucky plays. Like I said, that the Diggs throw to Cousins, that play should have worked, but that was a bad throw.
Yeah.
I don't know what Minnesota was doing, what they were going to go for on fourth and one. They ended up not hiking the ball and then called a timeout.
Stupid, where we're going to pull the offsides, you know, bullshit that the Packers often do. But the thing was, they kind of gave up on it early.
Really quick, yeah.
Yeah, Cousins just kind of walked off the field. You know, I mean, if they were trying to pull him off sides, that was the weakest attempt at it ever. You know,
I wonder if they were thinking that we're going to quick line up and Packers usually get late to the line of scrimmage and that's our chance. And the Packers were definitely ready. They were all lined up. They're packing in the middle there and were ready to, if they're going to do a quarterback sneak, they were not going to let that happen. So maybe that was the only call and they just gave up on it. It felt like Minnesota really made some dumb calls. There's another fourth down play where they threw deep, which was very Packer-like. So there is some kind of questionable play calling that really helped the Packers. And that interception by King, I mean, the game was moving in the wrong direction at that point. What was it? It was 10-9. Vikings had the ball. They got a big third down to Diggs. I think it was Diggs, or maybe it was another. And then I thought, that was our chance. We had a chance to pull ahead, and then the big interception by King, I think, really turned that game around. I don't think that was luck. I think it was a really good play.
Well, that was a really dumb pass. I mean, Cousins was double coverage, and I'm not sure if that was luck or a great play or just a stupid decision by Cousins, who did not look anything at all like the pregame hype suggested, that he had kind of turned this corner. And the corner he had turned was 58.8 passer rating. I mean, that was ugly.
Yeah. And so I guess the formula worked. We got healthy. We're lucky on some parts, and we won. I would say still ugly. We gave up 3 turnovers in that first half and basically gave them, 3 points. I thought it was easily going to be 7. It reminded me just of the San Francisco game. I thought, why?
It was 10 points that they gave up on turnovers.
Well, in total, but that first drive.
Oh, yeah.
We have the ball. We turn it right over. They're getting a first and goal or, you know, right down into the red zone. It's hard to win games on the road when you're just spotting 7 points. Right. But the defense held.
Yep.
Only to 3, and that was a huge play. But, man, through the first half of that game, I kind of sat with my arms crossed and just really upset at Rodgers still. I feel like he's calling audibles almost every time. He's doing it with 8 seconds left on the clock. The management before the half, it's like, come on, we lost the timeout. And then he did it again to change the call. Now, that play should have worked if Devontae would have caught that ball. But I was just thinking at halftime, like, I'm so frustrated with this offense. I don't know how – I guess I turned on Favre later when he was playing poorly too. But I feel like I'm really turned that corner on Rodgers where I think he – I'm more expecting him to do bad than good. And then they had a much better second half. How did you watch that first half?
Well, in some measure of dismay is how I watched that first half. And I mentioned earlier – I mean, the turnovers are uncharacteristic for the Packers generally. I mean, Rodgers throwing an interception and an ugly one was not good. But you have your two best players. You have got Jones and Adams fumbling, you know. I mean, really? I mean, that's not what you expect at all. And then you have a couple of drops you mixed in there. There was Lazard dropped the ball. Adams dropped the ball. There was the poor pass to Adams near the goal line that was behind him. He missed a wide open, fullback Vitali.
Yep.
was open, and it was a crappy pass. You know, I mean, there was just a lot of stuff that was just not smooth. I mean, the operation was not well oiled, and it was really frustrating to watch. But yet you look at the score, and somehow you're only behind by 1 point at the half, and you outplayed them. I forget what the time of possession was, but the Packers dominated time of possession. So even though they were behind by a point and it was really frustrating to watch, and I thought that, you know, somehow their poor play in the first half was just going to be too much to overcome. But yet, you know, they wind up in a strong position. And I don't know how that happened, but I guess when your defense is playing as good as it was, I mean, that covers a multitude of sins. In the same way, in the old days, Aaron Rodgers' play could overcome a crappy defense. So maybe it's the shoe is kind of on the other foot. And I'm starting to wonder, and I'd like to know what you think about this. Have we seen a shift now where the Aaron that controls the outcome of the Packer offense is not Rodgers, but it's Aaron Jones? I mean, is he now the guy that this offense is built around in the same way that in the final years in Denver, John Elway was reduced to a shadow of his former self, and it was Davis, the running back,
right,
that made all the difference. Are we seeing the same thing happen in Green Bay now?
Well, it should. I the last person to accept it is Aaron Rodgers, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
If he was a game manager, if our defense plays this well and Aaron Jones is that special, and Jamal Williams is playing good as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, give me some more jet screens with Tyler Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
Because, you know, that is, if you're going to hand off, why don't you go ahead and put a jet screen in there just to freeze that linebacker or make a safety run across? Or I think, you know, you give it to Tyler Irvin a couple times. I'd like to see that guy with the ball in his hands, you know, running toward the sideline.
I was really glad to see him get some snaps from scrimmage because I think that they realize that, hey, this is a guy, when he's got the ball under his arm, you know, he can be a difference maker. And he's been that way on returns, and I'm glad they're finding a place for him in the offense. I was really glad to see that.
But Rodgers, I think, has to turn into a bit of a game manager. That's what, if I recall, Elway was like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
could
have a player too, and Rodgers still has a player too in him for sure. But I mean, move the chains, march down the field, Even if you end up punting, punt from midfield, but not from your 15-yard line where you're giving them. So get first downs, keep the ball, and win the time of possession. I mean, that's who Rodgers needs to be. And I felt like they did a little bit of that in the second half. Still, 16 targets to Davante Adams. It's way too much. And then you have 9 for Lazard, and everyone else is just ones and twos.
Yeah.
That can't be the way that goes. You have Kumerow and Allison. Those guys have to get more than 3 looks. If Devontae's going to be effective, I think you got to look to those other guys. Jimmy Graham, I think Jimmy Graham caught one pass and then promptly fumbled.
Oh, God.
On the sideline. What a dope. Although you can see Rodgers and Graham's relationship is at the end of that game. They're talking together, all big buddies. I mean, Rodgers is not going to give up on his friend Graham either, which I think is a mistake. And we should get other guys involved. But, you know, if Rodgers can turn that corner and see his defense and see his running back and say, look, I have a certain role this year, and I just need to fill that role. I don't need to be Mr. Superstar. Be a manager, go drink your scotch, and come back the next week. That's what he needs to do. I don't know if he's ready to accept that role.
Yeah, the offense is out of balance. When you have 16 targets to one guy, and the next highest is 9, which is a pretty healthy number, but then nobody else. And I'm not buying this argument that, well, you know, the reason they're targeting Adams is because they have nobody else that can get open.
Yeah,
I thought the whole point of the offense was that you could scheme guys open, that, you know, you could, you know, do things that create opportunities for a variety of people. I'm not buying this idea that no one else can get open and no one else is open other than Adams. I don't think that's valid. Now, I'm glad he had a good game aside from the drop and the fumble. Not great. But, you know, Davante Adams had a very Davante Adams type game, and it was good to see that. But I would rather see him getting, you know, 9 or 10 targets and then, you know, seeing more passes to the tight end, more passes to the running backs. You know, I mean, more things like that than, you know, trying to go to Adams again and again and again. It was just too much. I think they were one reception away from tying the team record set by Don Hutson. I mean, that's going way back. And I think that it shows, I'm willing to buy that Don Hutson was the only guy that could get open back in those days. I'm not buying that today Davante Adams is getting all the targets because he's the only guy that gets open. I just don't believe that's the case, especially with the way this offense is supposed to work.
Yeah, I agree. There are other guys are more open than he is, and Aaron just has to trust that. I thought a couple of replays, you see guys that are at least one-on-one. They may not be technically open or wide open, but the most open person is other players. And, you know, and the Vikings could see that a mile away. That play on the interception that they had, they took that either safety or corner and ran him across the field to where Devontae was. It was like they're trying to disguise the double coverage on Devontae, which should have caused someone else to be open.
Right.
And then there was another play where I think Rodgers got sacked. I think it was the one where there was maybe the holding on the tight end was blocking. Or maybe it was a different one. But you had a corner blitz that got picked up, and Rodgers held the ball forever and then eventually took a sack. I thought, if you pick up a corner blitz, someone's got to be open. You can't tell me no one's open. Now, Devontae might not have been open, but, you know, he's got to be able to move the chains. I want to see at least like once per drive, a second or third down converted to a first down, because it's a 5-yard route, turn around, hit your tight end, and then falls forward for the first down. You got to have a bunch of those to kind of move the chains down the field. But yeah, everything's toward the sideline. A lot is focused to Devontae. But if the defense plays this good, then I don't know, maybe give them more time. I mean, this week we're seeing a little bit more and more added to the offense. I thought there's a few more misdirection plays. We saw the jet screen with Irvin. Like, they're adding a little bit each time. You wonder, maybe they can peak in the playoffs on offense. You think that's possible?
No.
Yeah.
I think this offense is kind of what it is. And it's kind of good enough to win. I mean, there's still the potential that Aaron Rodgers will be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, don't forget, this season he did have one game with a perfect passer rating. I mean, that is still something that he can do under the right kind of circumstances. But I don't think that this offense is going to be a smooth running operation when they are so, you know, out of balance with so much attention given to one guy. I just don't see that happening. Now, they compensated for that a little bit with the running game. I mean, Aaron Jones, had the 56-yard carry, but even without that, okay, if you take that out, he still had 22 carries for 98 yards. I mean, the guy had a really terrific game on the ground. He had a number of, 7-yard, 9-yard, 11-yard gains. I'll give stuff a couple of times too, but generally speaking, real solid. So if they can get that kind of performance from him, and then you mix in a few from my guy Jamal Williams, I think they can be okay, but I really think they have to show better balance in where they're distributing the ball. It seemed to me as though they did go over the middle more in this most recent game against the Vikings than they had in some of the other games where they were kind of going outside the hashes.
Yeah.
I think in this game, the game plan was to try to, use those slants and some of the crossing routes more than they had. But that's not where Rodgers likes to go, because he's concerned about the interceptions, and I'm concerned about him too, but I'm also concerned about an offense where you're constantly trying to go outside and you wind up throwing it away or holding it too long because that play is not there. And then you get poor guys like, Big Bob Tonyan, who comes across, picks up the blitzer, and there was a perfectly fine block, but Rodgers is holding it so long, there's no way that 85 is going to be able to sustain that block any longer. He gave Rodgers a chance, and Rodgers didn't take it. It wound up taking a sack on that play. So I'm not sure, Dave, if it's Aaron Rodgers has an entire career learning how to play a certain way. And he's now 36 years old. His skills, while still considerable, are not what they were. He has a different offense. And I'm just not sure that he's been able to adjust to his new realities, both in terms of his own abilities and in terms of what the offense gives him. And so I don't see this offense being a force in the postseason, because I'm not sure that their quarterback has had a chance to really accept the new reality of his situation.
Yeah, I don't think so. And until that happens, I think this offense is going to stall a bit. And I think they will run into trouble in the playoffs. That's why I think it's so important next year that we don't just draft stud receivers, but I think we have to get a free agent one too, because if you bring in a rookie or two rookies, and even if they're talented, is Rodgers going to trust them? He seems to trust Graham and Mercedes Lewis because they're older guys and been around the block. So I think you need to be nice to make a splash next year is to have Devontae and one other guy that he trusts. And then Lazard seems to be building that trust. He got a lot of third down throws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 9 targets is actually pretty decent number if you didn't have 16 sitting on top of you for Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, if he spread it around, then Lazard was very much involved. But Lazard should be open. I'm sure teams are going to pay a ton of attention to Adams and Jones, and so there's got to be a third or fourth guy. I just think that if we're really going to get Rodgers to kick it into gear, you're going to have to get some kind of trustworthy person that he likes into the lineup. But I thought the offense did certainly enough. It had pretty long, sustained drives, kind of the kind of drives you look for with this offense right now. A lot of runs, short passes, move the chains kind of a play. And there are 2 touchdowns. How long were those drives? They had 8 plays for 53 yards on the first. I guess only 3 plays, 75 yards. So they really didn't sustain. But, they had 7 plays and a punt, 6 plays and a punt. Then toward the end of the game. So they eliminated a lot of the 3 and outs that they had in other weeks, which is good. But really, it comes down to the defense. And special teams, I guess you could say, played well too. J.K. Scott punted well.
Yeah.
Tyler Irvin almost dropped the ball, but did much better than what we had. So defense, special teams were the stars, and the offense kind of limped along and just did enough.
Well, but that's how, teams other than the Packers win. I mean, there's a lot of teams that it's special teams defense and a running game. I mean, that's a formula that a lot of teams, again, not our Packers generally, but a lot of teams have used that to great effect. I think it's kind of odd that the definitive team that wins that way is Baltimore, except this year, where they're like this offensive juggernaut.
Yeah,
you know, which it doesn't seem right. It seems like we're living in an alternate reality when they're you know, that good. They have their quarterback is otherworldly. It's like the character of the team has changed entirely there.
Well, who is the GM in Baltimore that they could give up Za'Darius Smith and still be that good? I think they have a very good defense, and they let him go. Can you imagine he was playing with them?
Well, I'm not. See, now that's a good question. Because we didn't, and this isn't Ravens therapy, so you know we don't get a chance, you know, to see him. But it sounds like in Baltimore he was like a complimentary guy. He was kind of a Kyler Fackrell sort of player, where they would, you know, mix him in, and you know he was okay, but he really wasn't worth re-signing. And we've had a lot of guys like that in Green Bay. Micah Hyde, you know, is a good example, or Casey Hayward, another example of a guy that, you know, was good. It'd be nice to keep him, but it's no big loss when he goes away. And then he goes someplace else. And both of those guys have been great in Buffalo and in Los Angeles. And this is the same thing with Za'Darius Smith. He was, I guess, just a guy, a solid rotational player. But given the chance, I mean, it's hard to imagine that somebody would have let him walk, but I imagine they're saying the same thing about Hayward and Hyde.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, I think Za'Darius Smith, someone tweeted, should be in the Defensive Player of the Year discussion. No, that's my own perspective. He's the best defensive player I've seen this year. I don't know who else, you know, who is up for that conversation. I guess the guy from Minnesota has had a big year. They're saying he's the youngest guy to get 50 sacks. I'm sure there are people will pop up who's had really good defensive years. But, I mean, Za'Darius Smith, does he lead the league in sacks?
No, I don't think so. I think he's like fourth. He's got 13 and a half now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. Yeah.
But I mean, it's more than that. It's if you look at the, you know, the hurries and the knockdowns and, you know, all the different pressure stuff that, you know, he has done along the way, I think that puts him in a little bit different category, because he's a disruptive force, not just a guy that's rolling up a lot of sacks. Now, a case in point, he played the run yesterday really well. And I mean, the things that stand out are his relentless pursuit of the quarterback, but he's also in the backfield and running plays creating havoc. And he's a complete defensive player. He's not a KGB, you know, where that's all the guy can do is rush the passer, which I know sounds kind of absurd, but, you know, I don't think KGB is a guy who would give you a lot of run support back in the day. Although I did you see where he's in trouble?
There's kind
of a religious schism that he's involved with. It's a kind of a damn shame, but I digress.
Brought a gun to a Christmas pageant or something like that.
Well, but who doesn't bring a gun to a Christmas pageant?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
can never be too careful. Yeah.
Well, that's true. You never know if the Virgin Mary is going to, you know, pop out a gack and going to, you know, cut you down. It's just, hey, she's got those flowing robes on. You don't know what she's packing underneath.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that Smith, while the temptation after a game like last night is to say, yeah, defensive MVP, you look at like TJ Watt, the little bit that I've seen him on Red Zone and his numbers, there are some guys who are putting up some really good numbers elsewhere in the league. But I don't think Smith has to be a player of the year, defensive player of the year guy, for him to be effective for the Packers. I mean,
no doubt. Yeah.
In fact, it may be a little better to kind of fly under the radar. And I bet you the people in Minnesota know who he is now.
Yeah. Certainly Kirk Cousins does.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, better bread, better subs. Hey, I think we should take our break here, because my glass is empty and we know that it's time, you know, to go and refill that thing.
All right.
But before we do, though, I want to take a moment to thank our man, Pedro the Trash Man, who took advantage of PayPal this week and went to PackersTherapy, yahoo.com, and chipped us off a few bucks. I think they're money that he probably got in the bottom of a dumpster someplace or other, because that's what Pedro the Trash Man does. And he sent us a little bit of money. Want to thank you for that. And also, when we get to the pop culture segment, he was inspirational this week, and we'll get to that. So thank you, Pete. We do very much appreciate that. We hope others, at the Christmas, it's Christmas Eve. You know, this is the time for giving. And who better to give to than Chris and Dave? Yeah. So PayPal, it's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. You can go to Patreon. I have no idea how that works, but you'll figure it out, and you can give us money that way too. So we hope that you'll do that. Okay, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back. A few more thoughts about this game. We'll have some betting lines. We'll even have a winner if that deadbeat Mitt Miller has come up with our results from the past week. We'll have pop culture. All that coming on Packers Therapy after we take a brief break. Chris and Dave back with more Packers Therapy. You know, we checked the inbox during the break. No Mitt Miller. I mean, did he send you a text, Dave, telling you that he was not going to show up for work on Christmas Eve? Did he?
He did have off. I know that. There is no, he gets no paid time off. So I don't know. Maybe he's in trouble.
Oh, you know, that's it. Maybe he's in the drunk tank again. So we'll have to go fish him out of that. But we'll get to that in a few minutes when the betting lines come up. But let's wrap up any loose ends that we might have from the Packers' 23-10 victory over the Minnesota Vikings, sweeping the season series, which is always a nice thing against the Vikings. Dave, were you nervous like I was when the extra point was missed, making it 23-10?
It made me pause, because when they scored the touchdown, it was the first time I thought, I think we might win this game. I never at any point was I comfortable at 17-10. Did I think that we were in control? But that touchdown. But then, yeah, I was like, wait a minute, what happened? He missed the extra point. Like it did make me a little nervous. But apparently, that is not a problem. But how many? I guess that's the first miss by Mason Crosby all year.
Well,
extra point.
Yeah, on extra points, he did miss one field goal, but still. I mean, this guy has had an absolutely tremendous season, and I thought it was kind of weird that he should miss an extra point inside in a dome. I mean, you know, and I watched it twice. The snap was good. The hold was good. He just missed it.
Yeah. Well, there's luck for you. It wasn't a close game that he missed. He missed one when we were pulling away. So I guess if he's going to miss one, that wasn't a bad time to do it.
And if you're pulling away, there's always Blue Chew. Yes, just I couldn't resist the opportunity there.
Well, we said we were pushing for that sponsorship, because we could advertise for Blue Chew like nobody's business. I feel
it should be nobody's business.
But we've been training for a Blue Chew sponsorship, I think, for 15 years. I think this is our moment. Yeah. Blue Chew needs to contact us, because.
Because we're two guys over 50 years old, so
yeah, we're the demographics for it. Yeah,
I was just gonna say, yeah, you know what? We could do a thing for Blue Chew with each of us in a bathtub holding hands in the sunset
with headphones on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Talking on Skype. Yeah,
yeah. So could say, so, you know, Minnesota's punting is good, but if you're gonna. If you feel like you're dealing with Colquitt, you need to get some Blue Chew. That's,
you know, I had Colquitt for a while, and I'll tell you, you know, it takes more than Blue Chew. It takes penicillin if you got Colquitt. Okay. Although he punted well, you know, his net of 43.9 was fine for the Vikings. Okay. Anyway, we got an email this week from Peter McClellan. Now, for some reason, it says Professor. I don't know why it says that. I thought McClellan was a general in the Civil War, but that's just me. Anyways, he says, fellows, what a game, exclamation point. The defense started tonight, along with Aaron Jones, but the offense faced adversity early and often and rose to the challenge. And if you're having a hard time rising to the challenge, there's Blue Chew for that. Okay, anyway, what a clutch performance. And if you're having difficulties with a clutch performance, well, okay, I'm proud of Green
Bay Packers. We were born for this. We were
exactly right. Anyway, Peter says, keep up the good work. Happy holidays. He's proud of the Packers tonight. Hey, I'm proud of the Packers every night, Peter. But absolutely. This was a game where if you go on social media after the game or you look at our email and stuff after the game, you can tell it was a win because of the decided lack of conversation and also the tone of things. People just don't know what to say when they do well. Here's a case in point. I got no email from Chris from Scottsdale. Typically, I can't, I sit down at the computer after the game and there's Chris, and nothing. Now, I don't know, maybe he was, at the Buffalo Chip or whatever he was doing out there in Scottsdale and wasn't able to, get to his computer. But this is really, I'm sure it's true with every team, but it's so true when there's a big win, there's very little, or by comparison, very little said on social media. And so that's a good sign when there's not this, when your phone's not blowing up with all these messages and, tweets and texts and everything else that's going on. So I'm glad, though, that Pete, or, I guess he goes by Peter, sorry, took the time to write to us because so many people don't after a win. So Peter, thank you for that. We do appreciate it. But one of our regular correspondents, Tom Freeman, California, or as we like to call Tom, Judy's husband. He was in touch after the game as well. And he said his attitude before the game was one of extreme nervousness. I could see how the Packers could win the game, but there's so much negative history in Minnesota, indeed. And the Vikings were undefeated at home this year, which they were. And they were playing much better since early in the season. Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff, I kept hearing it again and again. I just didn't have a lot of confidence. Anyway, Tom says that my daughter asked me right before the game who I thought would win, and I said with not much confidence that I thought the Packers would pull it out. Blue Chew. Okay, anyway.
They did. They pulled it out.
They pulled it out at U.S. Stadium. Yeah, they pulled it out at U.S. Bank, yeah. So anyway, he goes on to say that in the first half, three turnovers, you don't win many games. Absolutely, with three turnovers, that doesn't happen too often. And he said it reminded him a little bit of like the San Francisco game, but he thought that the key was that the Packers were able to hold Minnesota in those situations to 3 points, and then one of them didn't hurt them at all, as it turned out. So anyway, Tom, thank you for writing. I think I had a lot of the same misgivings coming into the game because I really didn't think they were going to win this game until I heard that Cook wasn't going to play. And then I thought, this could be interesting. I mean, they still have the home field advantage. They're still playing well. Cousins apparently is a better player than he was. So I had a little confidence without Cook, but I wasn't like some people, like Tom, who thought that they were going to win. Dave, coming into this game, everything that you heard, just kind of your gut instinct, did you think the Packers were going to be able to pull it out at U.S. Bank Stadium?
I did. Well, we talked about last week. I did not expect it at all. In fact, I mean, that first half, the only thing I was surprised by is that Minnesota hadn't scored more than 10 points. But I thought we have a dysfunctional offense. We could see on display. Now we're including turnovers on the in the equation. I mean, Jimmy Graham fumbling, like we just are filled with mistakes on offense. And it's such a shame because the defense came to play today. But I'm so surprised. I mean, they beat Minnesota in Minnesota, where they were clearly fired up for this game. Similar to like the Bears in Chicago, the first game of the year. I mean, say what you want with this team. I mean, they've gone into some pretty rough circumstances and come out on top.
And if you want to come out on top, there's Blue Chew.
It's going to be hard to get through this with you hanging over my head with Blue Chew comments. But we're 12-3. I mean, think about that. We very well could be 13-3 this season. I mean, how is that possible?
Well,
possible that I'm not just glowing on this team? I'm still very 50-50 on whether I think this team can beat anybody.
Well, okay, let's reflect back a little bit. And how many 13-win teams have the Packers had? And last night after the game when I was trying to, you know, fall asleep, I was thinking about there's not been a lot of them. I thought 1962, they won 13 games. Now, I don't, you know, I'm older than you are, but I don't even remember that one myself. But I do know they were 13-1 that season. And then the next time that they won 13 regular season games would go all the way to 1996 when they went 13-3. I think 13-3 back-to-back seasons under Holmgren. And then they had one other 13-win season in 2007 when they went to the NFC Championship game. Of course, they had the 15-win season in 2011, which didn't go very well for them. So it's a pretty rare occurrence. And I'm like you in this instance, David. They're very likely going to be a 13-win team, and
I expect them to lose their next game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt that way in 2007 as well. Even if you remember, we were doing the podcast in those days, and I remember, you know, Brett Favre was kind of, you know, shrugging his shoulders, and he actually couldn't believe they had won 13 games either that season, but that seemed to be more impressive. Maybe it's because that was the second year under McCarthy, and you know they had progressed from 8 wins the year before, and so it wasn't completely out of nowhere. This year's team, this is the first year under a coach that had, you know, no head coaching experience and only 1 year being the play caller, but somehow they've been able to put this thing together. Whether it's luck or whatever it was, it's come together for them. So this is going to be very likely a 13-win team, very likely at, you know, with a bye and a home game in the playoffs. Normally that's cause for great rejoicing and excitement, but somehow there's something, there's a hole there, and it's hard for me to explain exactly what that is. And I get the sense as though you're feeling the same way about this.
Well, I think we're just conditioned that we win or lose by the play of the quarterback. For 20-some years, I feel like that's the case. And I'm looking at the stats, and from what I saw last night, our quarterback had a bad game yesterday. I mean, would you agree with that?
He had, I wouldn't say bad. Mediocre, maybe. I mean, the interception was bad. But otherwise, you know, numbers weren't terrible. They were kind of workmanlike, I suppose.
Well, quarterback rating is 68.
Well, but it would have been higher without the interception. I mean, that because he had no touchdowns. Yeah,
but that's on him. Yeah, and you know, average of 5 yards a throw.
That's bad. That's
which
bad.
Is, you know, well, although, you know, game manager, that's kind of what I want him to do. You know, they kept showing the stat that he hadn't completed anything over 10 yards. I felt like saying that's a negative.
I'm saying that that's a good thing. And it's the same thing that my son said when he saw that stat. And I totally agree with it. I'm not troubled by that. If you take away the interception, which was a bad interception, he's only had 3 this season. You know, it was a performance that, you know, if you're getting that kind of defensive performance and you run the ball that way, you can win with that.
I just felt it was, he had some bad throws with the interception, but he missed guys.
Yeah, he missed. Yeah,
I thought he made some bad decisions. He held the ball a couple times. And then I am really, 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 really tired of watching, I'm going to call it the shot clock, on every snap. I mean, they line up. My eyes go right to that number to say, oh, we're at 8, 7, 6, please, please. And then he hikes it with like 0 most of the time. Someone had said, you know, he gets like half a second to a second after 0 that most quarterbacks don't get. I think that's true. And it's one of those things that because they called it, they probably call it almost every play, he snaps it after 0. I'm just tired of watching that. Can't you get the play in? Can't you mix it up? Can't you quick snap it, you know, so that the defense isn't set? I mean, do things to fool the defense, but we're always driving this thing down to the very last second. And I don't get the sense that he's checking into these awesome plays. Feels like he's always checking out run plays into passing plays, and then he lasers in on Devontae. So I after all that, you know, I look at what happened yesterday. I think we won, but I felt like Rodgers had a bad game.
You know, this is an interesting phenomenon, and I wonder if it's if it's kind of goes with his personality, I mean, as a human being, there are certain people, and you probably know some of them, maybe you are one of them. I think I am, you know, where you're always looking for more information. You know, more information very often is better, but sometimes that can paralyze a person. And so I think, you know, Rodgers comes to the line, and the longer he waits, you know, the more he can assess the situation, except most cases in life do not have a play clock that's counting down in front of you. You know, you have time to, you know, run another report, you know, check with another expert, have another meeting, you know, all that kind of stuff that you do when you're gathering data to make an informed decision. Usually, there's not a clock that's counting down. And I think he's always trying to see, you know, what is my advantage here? What's the matchup that I want? And I think last week, on the long pass to Kumerow along the right sideline, he kind of talked through that, and it was on social media. I think it was Peter Bukowski that had matched up Rodgers' comments with the video on Kumerow. He was not the intended receiver on that play, but Rodgers, pre-snap, had seen certain things that he was able to imagine in his mind how this was going to play out. And that's why, instead of going to Devontae, which is a shock by itself, across the middle, he had gone to Kumerow against cover two. Now, that's a plus side, you know, but he had to wait to see where guys were moving just before the snap. If you snap it sooner than that, you don't get those clues. Now, the problem with that is it feeds into a negative loop because, I waited. And as they were moving around, I got more information and I made a good decision. So you constantly then start waiting for guys to, make these little tells, these little decisions that allow you to have data that you need to make those decisions. And so you do it again and you do it again because you remember the reward that you got in the past for letting the clock run all the way down until the other guys were betraying what they were going to be doing. So I think that's kind of the deal here. All of his career, he's been, and it isn't just this year, it's been going on for years, where, you know, he'll run that clock down to dust. That's just kind of what he does, and it's worked out really well for him over the years, and so he continues to do that. A younger quarterback probably wouldn't, because they would just run the damn offense, but he has all of this other experience, which can be a good thing. But experience can also be a limiting factor. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing as Rodgers is transitioning to a new way of being a quarterback.
But that's where you have to constantly evolve, because defenses know that he does this. So they're not telegraphing plays early like they would if it's a different quarterback. They know he's going to be watching. So, you know, you see a guy doesn't come in on the blitz and jump up to the line of scrimmage at 10 seconds or 6 seconds. They wait until 2 seconds, because, and how, you know, if you're gathering information and you're sitting there, you have 30 seconds to process and you're getting down to the zero, all of a sudden you see a safety jump, he's blitzing at 2 seconds. Like, are you processing that? I would think you'd freeze yourself, or what you probably do is you end up holding the ball because you're trying to think through what happened. So I think teams have adjusted to what Rodgers is good at. So that's why I would feel like every once in a while, let's call two plays in the huddle. And then right after that play, let's run into the next play right away. So they're not prepared for that. I would think you want to always be mixing it up on offense. You're the one in control. You can dictate the action. So do a lot of misdirection and do things to counteract what the defense is comfortable with. But we just set in this in these ways that you're right. He probably does maybe gather some information that's helpful, but I just don't think you should do it every single time, and I think the defenses are smart enough to have adjusted that. I bet you the feedback he's getting is not as great as it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
And if the feedback that you're getting is not as good as it was 4 or 5 years ago,
Blue Chew?
There is Blue Chew for that. Absolutely. And by the way, Blue Chew people, you can contact us at Packers Therapy on Twitter. Let us know. We would be happy to do this. Of course, I guess we're actually helping them for free right now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to rethink that business model, Dave. I think so. Well, do you have anything else from the game that you want to touch on? I mean, it's It was gratifying. And speaking of gratifying, well, forget it. So what do you think? I mean, have we missed anything here other than Jake Kumerow's fabulous hair and beard? I mean, have we missed anything else?
I don't think so. You know, I just want to just say Merry Christmas to Kirk Cousins and Minnesota fans, Stephon Diggs. I really like beating the Vikings and smushing their face all over it.
It's nice.
That on Twitter and seeing that stupid horn and the fake crowd noise in Minnesota. I just take all that and flush it down the garbage. If I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, just like as I'm a Bear fan, I am distraught over my team right now. I guess the fact that Dalvin Cook coming back might be a saving grace. But, you know, now I'm a Minnesota fan, at least for a few weeks. I'd love for Minnesota to beat New Orleans, San Francisco, Seattle, whoever they play. You know, I'm hoping Minnesota pulls it together. If we actually play Minnesota, be in the probably in the championship in Green Bay, that would be fantastic.
Oh, that – now, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Of course, they probably have Dalvin Cook then. It would be very interesting to see, you know, if – I mean, there's no way of knowing this. If Cook had played, would that have – would the game have gone the way it did, especially with all those turnovers? I don't know. I'm just glad we won't have to find out, because as nice as it is to beat the Bears, there's something special about beating the Vikings, and that's just – feels right.
Yeah, it does. Right. The world is in the right place. Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ho, 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 and the Vikings are all filled with hoes, so it's perfect.
Okay. On their boat, at least.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Nice. Nice reset, my friend. Speaking of resets, we probably want to reset the betting lines, although because Mitno Miller... he might be going up for some disciplinary action. I mean, let's just be candid about this. He's been a good employee over the years, but he's letting us down in the clutch. And if you're being let down in the clutch, okay, never mind. So let's go over the betting lines from last week and let's set the lines for the Detroit game going forward.
Okay. Now recall you set these lines. You set the questions. The lines.
Correct.
So let's see how I did, if I'm as good as you are. Okay. Number one, you asked what Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating was. I set the line at 93.5, and it was 68.3. So right out of the gate, I'm not starting very well. But I don't think anyone predicted 70.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
I thought I was on the other side of 100. I feel like that's a minor victory. Number two, you asked how many tackles for Rashawn Gary. I set the line at 1.5, and it was 1.
He played and he tried hard, but yeah, it wasn't there.
Well, between him and Fackrell as being the fourth, you know, they're getting a lot of pressure from the two Smiths and Kenny Clark. If you can get something from Fackrell, Gary, I thought there was one play Gary rushed up the middle and got right to Cousins, but he threw the ball out on a short pass. So
yeah, right.
I think Gary is not as much of a waste as, I had maybe thought early, or you know, who is it that Mike Sherman drafted, the defensive end who from Florida State, Jamal Reynolds?
Yes, that's it. Yep.
I don't think he's in Jamal Reynolds' category yet, so give him a little bit of time.
And Fackrell, you know, I mean, he had a big play. I mean, the play he was held on, you know, that wound up being a big play. So, you know, props to Fackrell.
Number three, you asked me total yards for Tyler Irvin. I set the line at 58 yards. He had 26, and partially because I should have factored in the indoors. He never returned any kickoff returns. He had zero kickoffs, everything. Same with Minnesota. Right. Everything was just out of the end zone.
Yeah, I had forgotten that was a huge factor that – It got to the point where, you know, guys were just letting it go over their head and they were jogging off the field before the ball even hit.
Right. Number four, you asked me total Packers penalty yards. I set the line at 50. They had 20, I think you told me. They had 20.
Yes, they had two penalties for 20 yards. In fact, only 5 total penalties in the whole game. It was either very clean or the officials were just letting the boys play.
Yeah, I like that. I don't recall seeing any penalties that I thought shouldn't have been called. you know, you could have maybe called the pass interference on King at one point, at Alexander on the interception, but you know, it was light. Yeah, you're right. I did think that MVS held his blocker on Aaron Jones's big touchdown run. They talk about, you know, every long run you have to have a good block by wide receiver.
Right.
And MVS was that guy. But if you watch it, he held this guy. He grabbed him by the shoulders. And it looked like a hold to me.
I guess the rule on that is if you don't get outside of the frame of your body, it's okay to hold. it's when you start hooking guys and you start, you know, reaching for them and grabbing. That's when they get you for the hold. But if you keep your arms inside and you latch on, they let that go.
Yeah, well, then maybe it was fair, but he definitely had him some jersey. Number five, you asked me total rushing yards for Minnesota. I set the line at 110, and they had 57, which was, I think, a big factor in this game, was the fact that they were one-dimensional. They could not run the ball with any effectiveness, and so they had to pass. Not only that, they had to pass, but Zimmer stuck with that run game, as we talked about, so... the under was definitely under my line there at 110.
Yeah, in fairness to you, I think we both thought that there's a chance that Cook was going to play. And yeah, if Cook plays, I mean, the numbers could be very different.
Probably. But I did get this game wrong. I mean, I did not see this game coming, so I'm not surprised that I have this all mixed up. Number six, including getting this wrong, total score, I set the line at 45 and it was 33. So you did take the over. So you thought it was going to be, we both thought it would be higher scoring. Mm-hmm. And it certainly was not.
Well, just based on everything that I was hearing about Minnesota and a little bit I had seen them on Red Zone, it looked like, you know, they were a different team than they were in the second week. And it turned out they were worse. I just didn't see that coming.
Number seven, you asked how many Minnesota turnovers. I set the line at 1.5, and they had one with Kevin King's interception, when I saw it live, I thought he dropped it, and all of a sudden, it's in his hand.
Well, it's because he was holding it with one hand, and that made it look like it had popped out, when in fact, he was just holding it with one hand and running, which, you know, with those gloves they have now. Have you ever had those on, by the way?
No.
I've actually got a pair of them. Guy that I know is a NCAA Division I ref, and they have a deal with Under Armour, and so he says, "Hey, if you want anything, I get a half price off." And so I got some of these, you know, gloves because they're good to wear outside in the wintertime. They are so sticky. I mean, this is before you put anything on them.
Yeah.
It's remarkable that anybody ever drops anything, and that's why, you know, Kevin King could, you know, run with that ball with one hand. Now, I'm sure he's got large hands too, but the amount of grip that goes with those things is truly stunning. So you know there's a lot of heavy contact when guys are fumbling the ball, because I'm not sure how anything would ever get loose from your grip with these gloves on. They're amazing.
I'll have to get some of those. If you like double our hand size and then put those gloves on, maybe it's no wonder they can catch it. But I did. I thought he dropped it. I remember like, doggone it, that would have been huge. And then, no, he got it. That was a huge, huge play. 7.5, you asked if the Packers were going to lose anyone to injury. We both said yes. I predicted Rodgers and you said Bulaga. And I think the only one that we have to say the answer is yes, that they had an injury to Jamal Williams. I think, do we count that as a yes?
Well, you know, it's hard to know because he... As not the prime guy, when he's sitting out, is he sitting out just because he's hurt, or is he sitting out because it's just not his turn in the rotation?
Yeah.
So it's, well, you know, but again, we would know this if Mike Miller had done his work. So it's not our fault. It's not our fault at all.
It's not. And the tiebreaker is Kirk Cousins' quarterback rating. I said it'd be 109. You said 104. Oh, it was a nice 58.8.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
So I guess what we're going to do is everyone gets to go to the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino this week.
Party!
We'll open up the banquet hall. We'll get we'll get a band in there, and everyone's invited. How about that?
So when you say a band, what that really is a collection of buskers up and down Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought it's Spotify and my one speaker.
That's true.
We can play anything we want. All right, so I guess we'll flip it back. I'll ask you the questions this week. Are you ready for the Lions game?
I'm much more comfortable this way. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go to a bunch of all reliable since this is the last game of the season, but I have to start. Number one, number of Za'Darius Smith sacks and tackles for loss combined.
Okay, so this week, 3.5 sacks and then one additional TFL.
Well, so, I've got him down. Oh, I've got tackles for loss, if that includes sacks, at 5.5.
Yeah, this is a good question because when I read the, I think it was Silverstein's story, he said that they combine those things, apparently. So, like when you tackle the quarterback, sack him, that's a tackle for loss.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we want to differentiate these things, or do we want to just go by the stat line?
Well, if we go by the stat line, so tackles for loss is 5.5. So that includes his 3.5 for sacks, which probably makes sense. I don't think he had an additional 5.5 tackles for loss, did he?
So let's right. I don't think he did either. So let's just go with TFLs, which include sacks.
Okay.
Fair? Okay.
Fair.
Boy, it's Detroit. They've got nothing to play for. They're not gonna. I'm not even sure he's gonna play quarterback for them. Because didn't Stafford's replacement get hurt too? I think.
Is Stafford out for the season? Is there any chance of him?
I heard that he is on the injured reserve list. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not going to play.
Right.
You would think with the Packers having so much to play for this Sunday and the Lions having nothing to play for, that this is going to be a blowout and a cakewalk, and Za'Darius Smith is going to go off. But I'm going to set that line. I'm going to be a little more conservative. I'm going to put it at 4.
All right, I'm going to take the under, only that I think they spare him some time, and they won't play
him in the second half.
Yeah.
Now, that's a real possibility. If they get a strong lead going in the first half, he might sit out the entire second half. Yeah.
Okay, number two, number of Davante Adams targets.
Oh, God. I mean, it's... But this may be also a factor of the same thing that you're saying. If they play well, he might not play in the second half.
Right.
So 16 this week. God, they better not try that crap again. I don't think that's smart. But thinking that he might not play as much, I'm going to be, again, a little more conservative. I'll go 11.5.
11.5. I'm going to take the under. If they can get to a lead, I can see Rodgers pulling Adams, but also Rodgers using that game as getting MVS involved and trying to, trust guys a little bit more. Now, they have to win this game. They can't treat it as a preseason game. I mean, they got to go out and win. But if they get a lead and Detroit looks dead,
that's when they pull back. Yeah.
They could pull back and really use it by getting Kumerow catches, MVS, Allison, other people involved.
And if you find yourself pulling back, there's Blue Chew.
There, number three, total touchdowns for Aaron Jones, who I believe leads the NFL now with his 2 touchdowns. Is that he was one behind McCaffrey? Now, I believe he's ahead of McCaffrey.
I think that's right. Regardless, the guy's having just a great season.
Awesome.
He's been an absolute difference maker. So we're talking total touchdowns, meaning both receptions and running.
Rushing.
And
yep.
Yeah, and he hasn't had a lot of impact as a receiver of late in the passing game. So I think they're going to try to use that a little bit more this time. Same factor though. If they get a lead, he's the kind of guy that they would take out of the game.
Yep.
I'm going to go 1.5.
Yeah, I thought you would. I'm going to take the over. I say before he goes out, he gets 2 scores before half. That's my prediction.
I think that's a definite possibility.
Number 4, going back to an old classic, a relatively new classic, but a classic nonetheless, punt return average for Tyler Irvin.
I love the classics. This time, now, this isn't great by his first few games. 6.5 yards? No, that's – we would have killed for that, back in October.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean that's fine. But against Detroit, I'm not sure the special teams. He's an aggressive dude, though. I mean, he looks, you know, he looks to run the ball rather than just fair catch it. His long was 11. I kind of, you know, and also, have you noticed, Dave, not a lot of penalties on the Packers special teams. Right. It used to be pretty much every time there was a return of a kick, whether it be a kickoff or a punt, there was some kind of block in the back or, you know, some nonsense like that. Hasn't been a lot of that this year. So we want the average yards or the total yards?
Average.
I'm gonna go, I'll put that 8.5.
8.5. Ooh, I'm going to take the under there. Okay, number 5. How many turnovers will Green Bay create?
Just one this week. But they, you know, they kind of live on that sort of thing. And, you know, this is a, you have to wonder, lines, are they going to be in the game? They got to, you know, those kind of things. Turnovers happen when teams are less than engaged. So I could see there being a number of turnovers. I'm gonna put that as at a healthy 2.5.
2.5. Oh, I'm gonna take the under there. I think a lot of punts. But two would be, I'd be happy with two. Two and a half is not a bad line. All right, but I'll take the under.
Yeah, because you know you have a quarterback. He's not terribly experienced.
Yeah.
You have running backs. I think this could be a sloppy game for Detroit.
Yeah, I think you're right. It could be a turnover on special teams, but I'll take the under.
All right.
Number 6. How many sacks will the Lions? How many times will Lions sack Aaron Rodgers?
Oh boy. Sack Aaron Rodgers. You're not saying total sacks because let's say Rodgers doesn't wind up playing in the fourth quarter and they, you know, wind up sacking Tim Boyle.
That's true. Yeah, I'm gonna say Rodgers. Rodgers alone.
All right. Dude holds the ball way too long. Do you know if Mike Daniels is healthy or is he out still?
I don't know. Because follows Lions with
Lions therapy? Yeah, I'm not sure who does Lions therapy.
Imagine that job.
Oh God. well, hey, we could be finding out about that before too long. he holds the ball too damn long, and if Daniels is playing, he's going to make a point. I'm going to put that at 1.5.
Okay. I'll take the over. Two.
Okay.
Not many, but just, I think you can get two. And then 7, because of all the people that played yesterday, I think this person played the worst. Therefore, I'm putting it at 7. Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating.
Oh, man. It has got to be better than it was this past week. And maybe I'm assuming this wrong and we're going to be surprised. It seems like we're always surprised in the NFL that games just don't turn out the way that you expect them to. But I can't see 68.3 again. I think he's going to have much more of a kind of a normal. He came into the game like a 101 season rating, and I think he's going to be a lot closer to that. So I'm going to set that at 96.5.
Okay, I'm going to take the over. Okay. I think he has this could be one of his most impressive games. Just because I think they're coming off a high with this Minnesota clinching, you know, the second or first seed. I think he's going to end up having a good game in this game. 7.5. Will they at some point mention Matt Flynn's game against Detroit where he threw 5 touchdowns? It was the last game of the season. I believe it was in Detroit. So there's a lot of similarities with this game. I just wondered, do you think they're going to mention Matt Flynn at any point in the broadcast?
Okay, now here's where my memory is different. I thought that game, if I'm thinking of the right game, I thought it was in Green Bay, and I thought he threw 6 touchdowns.
Oh, my.
Yeah, why don't
well,
you look at
okay.
that?
All right, okay. So I know it's a record. I thought 5, but no. So, all right, 6, sorry. Well, I wrote down 5, so that's why I got messed up, because is it 6 touchdowns? In one, now, in Green Bay, I thought for sure it was in Detroit, no?
I thought this was one of those, you know, track meet kind of games. Rodgers didn't play because...
Was it 2011?
It might have been. But I want to say it was like 6 touchdowns and played at Green Bay, and it was a high-scoring game. Packers, well, the Packers won because they only lost one game that season. But
it was January 1st. Packers won 45-41. It was in Green Bay. And let's see. I'm sure you're right about the 6 touchdowns. Oh, that's not going to work.
So, all right.
The question still remains. Well, they mentioned Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say his name was like Nick Flynn or something. Like, I got that wrong, too.
It was Don Horn. You remember Don Horn, dude? Because I think that was the year you were born. He had, in those days, it was incredible, like 424 yards passing in the season finale, 1969. So, I think they will. I think they're going to put a graphic up on the screen. I don't know if they're going to talk about him, but I think that you might see his name mentioned because that was pretty epic. It was Matthew Stafford, and Rodgers didn't play because they had the – they had the bye locked up because they were at that point 14-1. So yeah, I mean, I remember that game was exciting and epic, but it ultimately was meaningless. So they seem to play Detroit a lot the last game of the season.
The year
that Detroit was 0-16, they played in the last game of the season.
Okay.
last year they put in last game of the season. So.
Yeah, they do that a lot. So I'm going to say yes, too. I think at some point they'll mention Matt Flynn. See if Mitt Nomiller picks up on that. 7-3-4, do you think Green Bay will get the number one seed?
It will take Seattle beating San Francisco and the Packers beating Detroit. The latter is a very good chance. Seattle, though, looked crappy the last game out. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Green Bay gets the number two seed.
I'm going to say yes. I feel like Seattle at home, they just signed Marshawn Lynch, which I think is – I don't know. I think there's something about that that's going to be magical for them, at least for this one game. So I think they beat San Francisco at home, and I'm going to say yes. Packers
now,
get the one seed.
I know they were thinking about – did they actually sign him?
Yeah. I thought the report last night was that they did sign him.
Yeah. I knew they were thinking about it, but I hadn't seen anything that said that they had gone ahead and done it. I mean, really, he's what, 34 maybe, and he hasn't played a couple seasons.
It's a very Seattle thing to do, though, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot of desperation there. All right. As the old saying goes, do you remember the Hollywood Squares? Do you remember watching that show?
Yeah.
And I remember this game, and I always talk about this with Big Snake Man when something odd happens. I remember watching Peter Marshall was the host or the master of the Hollywood Squares. And they had, for people that don't know, it was like 9 celebrities, and they're, all sitting up on this tic-tac-toe board. So there's, 3 rows of 3, and there would be a man and a woman, an X and an O, right? And they would be playing, they'd ask questions, and if the match of celebrity, they get an X or an O. And the idea was the same as tic-tac-toe. You want to get 3 in a row. And I remember this game distinctly, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but it's like, you got the X in the upper right, you got Paul Lynde in the middle, it's got the X, and Charlie Weaver sitting there in the bottom left. And the man or woman goes to, I don't know, whatever celebrity was in the bottom right. it's just like, and I remember it's like this awkward pause, and Peter Marshall says, well, I would have gone to Wally Cox to win, but this might work out too.
So that's your Marshawn Lynch is the bottom right corner.
I would have done something there, but this might work out too. I'm fine with that. So it's a very Seattle thing to do, and they've had a lot of success there, and they got Russell Wilson, and maybe when you got Russell Wilson having an MVP season, it doesn't matter if you sign a guy, who's well past his expiration date. But all right, fine.
I'm going to say yes. I think they get the win, San Francisco. 7-7 Ace, I just thought of one here. Do you think the Packers will cover the spread, which is 13 points?
I was going to ask you what the spread was. Now, they were underdogs in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it's been a while, I think, since the Packers came into a game as an underdog and won. I'd like to know what that looks like. But covering the spread, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, because they have routinely been underwhelming in every way this season. So why should this be any different? I think they'll win the game, but they won't cover 13. They'll win by 9 or something like that.
I'm going to go against my – I think Rodgers has a good game. I think they get up early. I'm going to say yes. I just have a feeling that this high they'll come out of after the Minnesota win, I feel like they're going to just trounce the Detroit and head in with the one seed. Although which game – I guess the we'll know the Packers outcome before the Seattle. Seattle, San Francisco, is that Sunday night, Monday night? I want to say it's Sunday night.
Yeah. There's no Monday game, right? Because there's never a Monday game.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Week 17. So it's got to be the featured. If nothing else, it's going to be a late game because they're playing on the West Coast. I think I saw some where they are going to flex that one because it's got playoff implications and it's still a good team. So why wouldn't it be the featured game on NBC?
Yeah. So tiebreaker, total score.
Oh, God. This is a tough one, too. I mean, I could definitely see Detroit scoring less than 10 points, so that'll keep the total score down. But I could see the Packers also stumbling over themselves, especially if they change out, you know, their starters in the second half. So I think that the score is actually going to be lower than we expect, much more like the kind of score they had against Minnesota this past week. So I'm going to, you know what? I think I'm going to go with the same 33 that they had in this past game with the Vikings.
33 total points.
Yep.
So that's both scores. I was saying total, what's the over under on the whole game? So are you just saying the Packers or you're saying
both teams,
right?
I'm saying both teams. Yep.
All right. Yep. I'm going to say 40. I think the Packers win 33-7.
Wow. Really?
So yeah, I think this is going to be a blowout game for them. So
have they had a convincing win like that? I'm trying to think this season. I don't have the scores in front of me, but I'm trying to think what was the game this year? The closest thing would be through three quarters up 31-3 against the Cowboys, but that game wound up being very close at the end. Have the Packers had a real convincing showing? They scored 40 against somebody.
Well, they beat the Broncos 27-16.
That's
Cowboys ended up 34-24. Raiders maybe they won 42-24. Although that was close. That was the fumble of the end zone by Carr.
That's the whole game. In fact, maybe the whole season might have turned on that play.
Not the Chiefs. I suppose the Giants. They won 31-13.
No, see, they haven't had a real ass kicking type game.
No. No, they really haven't all season. I mean, the Bears game, the first game of the season, I felt they were in control most of that game, but that was a close game too. So, yeah, this would be nice for them to go out and trounce somebody and head into the bye feeling pretty confident. But I don't feel confident enough like 2011 where they, I think, can afford to be overconfident. I think they're going to get a lot of questions over the break about the offense and what's, you know, how's it running and holding the ball too long. So I think they're going to come out of that break with a chip on their shoulder. So I think they're going to do good in this game. That's my prediction.
So if you've got questions about how your offense is running, there's Blue Chew.
And if you want to participate in the betting lines.
If you want to participate, you can, but apparently we have nobody who's taking a look at how this has come out. So
you might be just shooting it into the universe with
and
no one listening.
You're shooting it into the universe. Oh God. No, listening anymore. Are they? I don't think so. I certainly hope not.
Yeah, no, we're fine.
All right.
But you do need to email mitnomiller@gmail.com. That's MITNOMILLER@gmail.com.
Yes, Mike Miller, Mitno Miller. He is your guy if you want to play the betting lines with Chris and Dave. Shoot him an email. He apparently isn't responding to his email. You know, maybe he's hanging out with Mason Crosby.
In the drunk tank?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's possible. Well, that's the only reason I can think why he missed an extra point inside.
That's That's we were on it. We were on it early.
Yep, I know.
When the news comes out and everyone says it, I'll say, you know, you should listen to me.
So, pop culture?
Pop culture. I have one. I think you have probably a few. The one I'm going to bring up is I saw Star Wars on Friday night.
I'm sorry.
I did see it, and I'm going to spoil the whole thing for people listening. No, I'm not going to do that. I will say that this last trilogy, which you've seen zero of them, is that true, Chris?
I've seen the original installment, the 3, 4. No, it'd be four, five, six.
Yeah. So 7, 8, 9, I think was a big missed opportunity. I enjoyed watching them. I always look forward to them. I'll probably say at the end of the day, I like them relative to other movies, but I still am kind of walking away disappointed. It's kind of like the Packers. I'm enjoying the games. I'm kind of excited and happy with outcomes, but there's a level of disappointment that I feel at the same time. And the last movie, The Rise of Skywalker, it is packed full of things. They jam. I've never had a movie jam so much in 2.5 hours as this movie does. But I'm still a Star Wars fan. And if you're a Star Wars fan, it's certainly worth checking out and watching and finishing up that trilogy. But ultimately, I was disappointed in it. But that's all I really want to say because I don't want to spoil anything.
So if you're disappointed in your outcomes, there's Blue Chew. Okay.
We really... we're a walking advertisement for Blue Chew.
When are these people? I'm going to check and see if they've already. They've probably been texting the entire time, and so we'll have a sponsor next week. I'm very confident of this. I want to thank Pedro the Trash Man, also AKA Peter Spielbauer. We had a nice exchange via email this week in which he had commented that we don't in our pop culture we tend to talk more about movies and about TV shows. Although we have done podcasts, we've done video games in the past, we have talked about music in the past, we've talked about books in the past. But yes, we do, I guess, tilt more to the visual arts, if you will. But he brought up some really good points about, you know, music and the things that he likes a lot. And he mentioned a guy named Billy Strings. And I got to say, I had not heard of Billy Strings before Pedro the Trash Man mentioned him. And so I thought, okay, you know, I look at this guy, and he sent us some links. And I got to tell you, Billy Strings, by the way, not his real name.
No,
but this guy, I know, it's shocking. This guy can really play. I mean, he's kind of, you know, bluegrass. But in a kind of a modern, you know, bent, more of a, I guess, Americana style, alt country style. And I was looking at, and there's a magazine called No Depression, which is not a mental health magazine. No Depression is.
Well, it's a good idea.
Yeah, well, it's not just a good idea. It's the law. No, it's not the law. No Depression is a magazine that focuses on alt country. Americana type music, and I used to be a subscriber, and then they, you know, like a lot of publications, guess what? We're just going to make it an internet deal because it's a lot cheaper to do it that way. Anyway, so I get their email that comes out every once in a while about the latest stuff, and they had their top 50 Americana albums for 2019, and number 8 on the list was Billy Strings. And his album Home. So I thought, well, if Pedro's talking about it, and if No Depression magazine's talking about it, I'm gonna, you know, go and check it out. And so I scanned through a number of tracks, and I thought, hey, this is good. So I wound up downloading a half a dozen of them. So if you like the Bakersfield sound, country rock, alt country, Americana, that genre of music, and you're looking for something new, this is a young guy from that country music hotbed of Detroit. Billy Strings is the guy's name. He's young. He's under 30 years old. And I strongly recommend it. I really liked what I heard. And I want to thank the Trash Man for giving us that suggestion. And I endorse it. So check out Billy Strings if you like that kind of thing.
Okay.
All right. So anything else? Or are we just going to like go now and sit by the fireplace and wait for Santa to slide down and make our day special?
I think that's pretty much what I'm planning on doing. I might play some tennis. But other than that, I think I'm just going to cruise into Christmas mode here. You know, I might watch a condensed version of that game again. It's so improbable of what happened. I might want to see it again with my own eyes to make sure that really happened.
I actually did that this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, before the podcast to refresh myself because it was so much fun the first time. Although I got to say, it wasn't fun. The first half was not fun. The first half was kind of uncomfortable. But, you know, it was one of those deals where I knew even if they lost, you know, they were probably going to win this week coming up and everything was going to be okay. So this was kind of a gift, you know, to be able to win this, to be able to have the chance of getting the second seed, of winning 13 games, which we talked about before, is pretty much a rarity. For as good as the Packers have been for so long, they haven't had a lot of 13-win seasons. So this is, you know, this is shaping up a lot better than I would have imagined. Well, when I guessed them to be 7-9 at the beginning of the year, I would say this is shaping up a lot better than I imagined. So I'll take it. Let's take it and move on. They got the Lions coming up on Sunday. We will know a lot more about how all the seeding are going to work out the next time that we re-rack this thing. And if you're having difficulties re-racking your thing, forget it.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Some are a work in progress. Yeah.
I cannot wait for our friends at Blue Chew to be in touch and say, we have got, would you guys be our poster children? I don't think we want that, do we? No, I don't.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's true. No. I don't want to admit I'm a user. I just want to advertise. Yeah.
I just want to have the money. That's all. That's all I'm talking about.
Or the product. Either one.
Well, yeah, I can sell it on the street then, I guess. So.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, Packers will play the Lions in Detroit inside. Let's hope that they not only win, but escape with no injuries, get themselves a week off. That would be fantastic. And then we get to sit back and enjoy the postseason. You know, the first weekend's always interesting, you know, a lot of games, a lot of fun. So a lot to look forward to as we've now passed the solstice and the days are slowly getting longer in the Northern Hemisphere. So finally, Packers winner 23-10. Got the Lions. Chris and Dave are going to be back. I'm talking about us in the third person. A week from now, I think I'm going to make plans to watch the game. What about you, Dave?
I will too. Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as we're both going to watch, we'll be back in a week or so. We'll talk about that and look at the playoff situation. But until then, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers there.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.